We need wisdom. Many of us can look back on our lives and see that at certain points we've made decisions that, with the benefit of hindsight, weren't the best, were poor decisions. And as they say, hindsight is an exact science. And we can find ourselves saying, well, if only I'd given more thought before I took that step. Or if only I'd sought wise counsel before making that choice or that decision. One Old Testament scholar has defined wisdom like this: competence with regard to life's realities. Competence with regard to life's realities. You see, things go wrong when you make a choice that isn't competent with regard to the realities of life that you're living in this world. Many centuries ago, a young man called Solomon became king of Israel at the age of about 20 years. The opening chapters of the books of Kings record how his reign was established. He was the rightful king. He was a great king despite his future failures. But above all, he was a wise king. And the first part of the chapter that we read, 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning, explains how Solomon received that wisdom. He prayed. God asked him to pray for whatever it was he wanted, and Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gifted wisdom to him. What we're going to consider this morning is the second part of that chapter, how God used, or how Solomon used the wisdom that God gave him. And hopefully we'll learn how we can act wisely and receive wisdom ourselves. But the first thing we need to ask is, okay, what is wisdom? Brian O'Driscoll, the greatest rugby player that has ever graced the field, famously said this: knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Okay? It's possible to know a lot but lack wisdom. It's possible to be intellectually brilliant, yet lack what we call common sense. I once recall when I was at primary school, when children are cruel to their classmates, there was a particularly intelligent young boy, but seemed to lack common sense, and we referred to him as Moulinex, because Moulinex makes things simple. That was unkind. But you see, he had great intelligence, but not the common sense to live and make competent decisions. And there are lots of people like that. So we need to think about how the Bible defines wisdom. And of course, the wisdom book in the Bible is the book of Proverbs. So I'm just going to pull out six features of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, and there are a lot more. First thing that we need to understand about wisdom is that it has a worship dimension. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning or the starting place for true wisdom. That means that if you don't worship the living Creator God, then you're not wise, according to Scripture. You could be the most intelligent person on the planet. You could win every game of Trivial Pursuit. You could have degree after degree after degree, strings of letters after your name, but if you don't worship your Creator and Maker, if you ignore God, then you're not wise. Psalm 14 puts it the other way. If you deny God, you're a fool. So that's the first aspect of wisdom. It has this worship dimension. It has to do with our relationship to the one who made us in his image. But then there's something else. There's insight. In Proverbs 4, verses 6 and 7, we're told that wise people have insight into spiritual truth, into spiritual reality. The writer says, don't forsake her, talking about wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. The wise have an increasing thirst for wisdom, unlike the fool or the mocker. And when we come into the New Testament, we're told that God the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to give us wisdom and insight so that we may know God better. But there's something else about wisdom. It involves discernment. The wise person can read a situation and make the right decision, as we see Solomon do in this passage. Again, the book of Proverbs puts it like this: anyone who has a wise heart is called discerning, Proverbs 16:21. And again, in the New Testament, Paul prays that the Philippian Christians would grow in knowledge and all discernment. So discernment is a part of being wise. Then fourthly, wisdom has a moral dimension. Proverbs 14:16. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. So you see, throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom and holiness, wisdom and purity are brought together. A wise person acts discreetly. So Proverbs 5 through to 7 address young men because they need discretion, particularly in relation to prostitutes, to avoiding prostitutes. And the wise are those who choose good over evil. They're those who are open to correction as well. But then, fifthly, wisdom also involves justice. Proverbs 1 and 3. The wise receive instruction in righteousness, in justice, and in equity or integrity. So after speaking of the God who gives wisdom, Solomon says, then you'll understand righteousness, justice, equity, every good path, Proverbs 2 and verse 9. And leaders in particular are praised for using wisdom to do justice. And that's what we're going to see Solomon doing in this true story this morning. And then finally, wisdom is about skill. The book of Proverbs describes the wise person as one who is skillful in building. And it's an aspect of our being made in God's image. Like him, we are made to create, to build. He gives us skill because he is the one who by wisdom founded the earth. And Solomon's skill was displayed in many different ways. Political acumen, his ability to construct the temple, managing the economy, all of those things are part of the wisdom that God gave him. So wisdom has many, many dimensions. And that leads me to the second thing. We all need it. We all need wisdom. Like Solomon, judging between these two prostitutes, we need wisdom when we're faced with a choice. We need wisdom when we come to a crossroads in life. Should I marry or stay single? Should I attend this university or that university? Should I pursue this career or that career? Should I stay in the city of Leeds or move to another city? Should I move to a larger home or extend my present home? Thinking back a few months, should I vote Remain or leave? When it comes to the next general election, should I vote Labour, Conservative, Liberal Democrat, or the Yorkshire Party? Don't laugh. Those are just a few of the many questions and crossroads that face us here today. In fact, there's probably never been a generation as much in need of wisdom as this generation. Why is that? Well, in the past, a lot of your decisions were made for you. If your dad was a barrel maker, it was highly likely that you were going to follow him in his trade. If you were born on a farm, it was highly likely that you would live out all of your days and die on that same farm. You see, social mobility has brought with it a multitude of choices and a multitude of dilemmas for God's people today. Furthermore, just to make things a little more complicated, it has to be said that many of the problems, many of the challenges, many of the decisions we're trying to work through in our lives need wisdom because the rules don't help us. You see, the Bible is not a commentary on modern politics. It's not a scientific textbook. It doesn't give us rules for every single situation we're called to face in life. That's not its function. And that was true for Solomon in our passage this morning. He faced a very difficult decision. He needed wisdom because the rules didn't help. Now, why was that the case? Well, think about the rules for a judge in those days. What if a man and a woman were going through a divorce and were arguing over which of them should have custody of the children? Well, almost every society tells judges what the rules are in a situation like that. Societies tend to decide whether a husband or a wife will be a better sole parent. And those things can change in cultures and over time. But the point is that if you're a judge, you usually have some kind of rule or direction as to whether you choose the man or the woman in that situation. Now look at our passage. Both are women. So the rules don't help there. Okay, well let's apply some kind of moral rule to decide between the two of them. Oh, hang on a minute. Both of them are prostitutes. They're both in the same situation. They're both morally compromised. Okay, so what help is there elsewhere? Well, hang on, there are no witnesses either. According to verse 18 of chapter 3, both these women are alone. There's no one to bear out which of them said what to whom. So you see, if ever wisdom was needed, it was needed in a situation like this. And that's true for us. The real thorny issues in life, the most challenging decisions we need to make, are not those decisions where the rules, God's rules, clearly rule one way or the other. They're easy. Do not be unequally yoked. Don't marry a non-Christian. Simple. The rule applies, but it gets complicated where the rules are not clear. So there are two Christian people that I could marry. Both fall within the rules. How am I to decide between them? Is it about money? Is it about looks? Or what about career? Those are the places where we need wisdom. Wisdom's needed where the rules don't apply. Now, of course, it has to be said that obeying the rules that God has given in Scripture is wise. But the areas in which Scripture is less clear, where general principles may be laid down, where no specifics are given, that's where we require wisdom. Proverbs, as I've said, is a book of wisdom. It contains proverbs, not rules. For example, turn with me to Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. If you think of Proverbs as a book of rules, this couple of verses will make you think. What does the wise man say? Verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. But what about verse 5? Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So one proverb says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. The other says, do answer him according to his folly. So which is it? Is it right to engage an unreasonable person in debate to try to change their minds? Or is it better to just walk away and not have any kind of conversation at all? What is the answer that the book of Proverbs gives? And the answer is, well, sometimes it's the right thing to do, and sometimes it's the wrong thing to do. You can't rely on the rules. You've got to rely on your own competence with regard to the realities of life. Like Solomon, you have to make a wisdom call. Now, the good news is, knowing that we all need wisdom, we can all thirdly receive wisdom. That was Solomon's experience. Look at verse chapter 3:28, 1 Kings 3:28, back to 1 Kings. All Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. As you know, Solomon didn't pray for fame or wealth or power. He prayed for wisdom, and God answered that prayer. And it's because God gave Solomon wisdom, as he did the other kings in Israel's history, that these two women came to him, and the people as a whole came to their king, expecting to receive wise judgments. Now, there's a particular challenge for all of us here. As the children of Israel, the people of Israel, went with expectancy to their king to receive wisdom, So too today, each of us have kings that we approach for wisdom. If we follow the true king, Jesus, we'll have true wisdom. If we follow false gurus, what we'll find is foolishness, not wisdom. Today, people go everywhere in search of wisdom. They read their horoscopes in an effort to determine how they should live that day, how they should make certain decisions, whether it's right to make decisions at this point in time because of the alignment of the planets. Or perhaps they write to a multitude of agony aunts or uncles seeking wisdom, seeking help. Or they go into the chat rooms on the internet or go to the blogs and any number of places seeking wisdom. But you see, the Bible teaches that if anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ is the true king of your life, then the wisdom that you operate by is ultimately foolishness. Now, that might seem a bit harsh. It might seem a bit oversimplistic, but let me make a couple of points. If you go back to the book of Proverbs, the Hebrew word that's most often used for wisdom is a word that means training. It means discipline. It means to place yourself under authority. And in the Old Testament, gaining and growing in wisdom is never separated from this issue of being under authority. It means submitting or coming under authority, serving something, giving yourself to something. And you see, your wisdom is determined by the authority that you look to, the thing that you serve. That's the source of your wisdom. So if the most important thing in your life is money, there will be a wisdom that flows from that. And this is how it plays out in your life. You'll be at a crossroads and a job comes along that satisfies you, that fits your skill set, that you know will be very fulfilling, but it only pays £20,000 a year. And then another job comes along and you know that it's not as fulfilling, that it doesn't really fit your skill set, but you know that you can do it and the salary's £50,000 a year. And you'll choose that one. You make the choice. The rules don't help you. They don't give you those kind of details or criteria for choosing a career or a job, but you make a choice. Now, why do you make your choice? It's because of your priority. It's because of what's most important to you, and that is money. But ultimately, that decision is foolish. Because if money's the most important thing in your life and you end up choosing that job that isn't fulfilling, in the long run, you become miserable. You become less productive. You might burn out a bit faster. You'll end up perhaps having more money troubles because you're so dissatisfied. Your wisdom is determined by the authorities that you look to. And whenever you make money or parenting or sport, or whatever it may be, the most important thing in your life, then you find that you're going to reap foolishness and trouble rather than true wisdom. And in our passage, two women stood before Solomon. Solomon did something that revealed their hearts, that showed what was going on inside them. So instead of just looking at them and trying to hazard a guess at what was going on, he found a way to reveal the source of their wisdom, the priorities of their lives, the foundations on which they made their decisions. So he took a sword, knowing all along that he wasn't going to kill this child. And what do we find? One woman shows that for her, being a mother is more important than the life of that child. Motherhood was her god. Motherhood was her idol. She was so jealous of the other woman being a mother that she'd have been quite happy to see that child killed. She didn't care about the child. She cared just about herself. And in a similar way, if being a parent is the most important thing in your life, in my life, we're actually putting ourselves and our needs before our children. If our careers and success are the most important things in our lives, then we really don't care about the value of what we're doing at our work day by day. It's just a means to an end. We're ultimately caring for ourselves. And that's the reason that it leads to foolishness. Notice when the other woman says, "He shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him." Isn't that foolish for her to say that? Standing before the king, the man who's making the judgment, she speaks folly. Because anybody listening knows straight away that she wasn't the real mother. What's going on then? Well, she demonstrated her folly. But why is she a fool? Why did she make that foolish remark? Because being a mother, motherhood was her authority. And in doing anything that she could to get it, in being jealous and angry at those who were mothers around her, she made a fool of herself. She fell. So the lesson for us is this: whatever our authority is, whatever we make a priority in our lives, wherever we derive our wisdom from, if it isn't God, if it isn't His ways, it's going to end in foolishness. In other words, you'll lose everything that you most want because you're out of touch with the realities of life in God's world. But thankfully, fourthly and finally, we know the source of true wisdom. One of these women is an example of worldly wisdom, which is ultimately foolish, while the other is a picture of godly wisdom. Notice that the real mother here, is very quick and willing to surrender her son so that he might live. She's willing to give up. She's willing to give away something in order to gain something in return. Because the essence of true wisdom is that the way up is down. Jesus put it like this: the way to find yourself is to lose yourself for my sake. The way to get real power and wisdom that you can't lose is to submit to the rule of the true King, Jesus. The way to gain real freedom that you can't lose, that can't be taken away from you, is to serve the true King, Jesus, and then serve your neighbor as yourself. The way to gain real riches that you can never lose is to give it away. And this woman was willing to surrender her role as a mother so that her child could live and know joy. She gave up her joy, she gave away her hope, so that that child could have a future. And yet, what do we see? Even in the act of giving away that which was most precious to her, she received back her role as a mother. And it was with security, because the king had ruled in her favor. Now, that kind of wisdom can only be learned from God. And it can only be gained by humble submission to the lordship and the rule of Jesus Christ. There's something else that I want you to see here as we come to an end. Here Solomon uses his God-given wisdom to help the powerless. These women probably had not chosen their way of life. They may well have had to sell their bodies out of economic desperation or perhaps some form of voluntary slavery. We don't know. But one thing is certain: they weren't the most respected members of that society. Yet Solomon used his wisdom to care for them, even though some probably wouldn't have given them the time of day. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because in that way, Solomon points us to Jesus. The words translated judge, discern, wise, wisdom throughout the whole of chapter 3 appear again in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 11, which is a description of the coming messianic king. And I want to read those opening verses to you. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. "There shall come forth a stump from the stump of Jesse, and the branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity. for the meek of the earth. And then in 1 Kings 3, chapter 9, we hear Solomon's request to God. What was that prayer? Lord, give me an understanding mind, a hearing heart to judge and to discern. And that parallels the work of the messianic king, Jesus, who won't decide cases merely by what he hears. So you see, Solomon's wisdom and justice point beyond themselves to Jesus Christ, which is why we read at the beginning of the service from Psalm 72. Well, what we see is that Solomon is going to be eclipsed by a greater, wiser king. Solomon's wisdom, discernment, justice point us to the great King Jesus, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We praise God that King Jesus has already begun to reign. And if we submit to his authority and his rule, we can be sure that he will guide us, that he will give us wisdom, that he'll keep his promise. Whenever we're at that crossroads, whenever that difficult decision needs to be made, he will help us to be wise. So Solomon is a picture of Jesus, the one who's the source of all wisdom. So if you're at one of those crossroads in life and you're thinking, Lord, what can I do? I've searched the scriptures and there isn't a thou shall or a thou shalt not. Go to the Lord. Ask Jesus to give you wisdom, to help you make that decision. Talk to others. Seek counsel from those around you who know and fear the Lord and are following after him. And you will receive that help and that wisdom to live wisely for his glory. God help us to do this so that Jesus might receive the praise and glory. Let me pray. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your wisdom, for the wisdom that you gave this man Solomon. But above all, we thank you that all wisdom is found in Jesus your Son. And we thank you that being united to him by your Spirit, we can know that wisdom and seek that wisdom and find it as you help us to be wise in the day-to-day things of life. We thank you for your word, for the clarity that it gives us in certain areas. But we pray for this area, Lord, that isn't so clear, that you'd help us to make good choices and wise choices, choices that honor our King and our Lord Jesus. We ask all this in his name. And for his glory, amen.